Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sterling Tools Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Gupta, Group CFO, Sterling Tools Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gupta.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of STL Group, I extend a very warm welcome to all of you for our Quarter 4 FY25 earnings call. I'm joined today by Mr. Atul Agrawal, our Managing Director, Mr. Jaideep Wadhwa, Director, Mr. Anish Agrawal, Director, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. Our results and investor presentation have been uploaded in the stock exchange and also available on our website. Hope you had a chance to review it. I request Mr. Agrawal to present his opening remarks, please.
Thank you, Pankaj. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining our call today. I'm going to just digress a bit and talk about the business differently. Just some highlights. We achieved 1,000 crore revenue for the first time in the history of Sterling Tools in FY25, and we look forward to meeting greater milestones in the years to come. Our consolidated revenue increased by 10.6% to 1,038 crores in FY25, driven by strong growth in our subsidiary SGEM and a stable performance in our standalone business, which recorded a 6.2% year-on-year growth and a 10.5% year-on-year PAT growth. Adjusted EBITDA on a consolidated basis rose by 13.8% to 132.4 crores, with margins expanding to 12.8%. Sterling Tools is well positioned to outperform the broader industry, backed by a diversified product mix, deep OEM relationships, and focus on operational efficiencies and innovation. Just some highlights for FY25. I've talked about the revenue numbers. We spent about 59 crores in CapEx in FY25. Investments were primarily in the SGEM facility, upgradation and capacity enhancements, and additionally, investments for our new product segments. Net debt position, the company remains surplus. We have a 12 crore surplus cash. In other words, we're pretty much net debt-free. Margins primarily improved on account of higher sales volume for both fasteners and EV components, and we had a better product mix optimization. Some of the positive factors we had this year: ICRA upgraded long-term rating from AA- stable to AA- positive. We had major expansion and upgrade of labs at SGEM, with HP Dynamos installed at the facility. Major infrastructure upgrade and capacity expansion at SGEM factory, and we have developed it as an EV campus. SAP got implemented at SGEM as well and is live. Some of the things which impacted on a one-time basis in FY25: we have substantial one-time expenses for future product expansion. As you have seen, we have announced three different products in the last 12 months, namely magnetics with a Korean company for Hyundai Kia, relay business with a Chinese company, Kunshan Goli, coming up in Bangalore. And you saw the announcement for magnet-free, rare earth-free motors going forward. So we have done that. Business development required some external relationships and partnerships to execute and crystallize, so we had to carry substantial one-time charges in FY25 to see that happen. Operationally, in our standalone business, you see our margins at 14.7% this year over 14.9% last year. But just I want to highlight the operating EBITDA on a like-to-like comparison is better than 14.9% of FY24, is probably 15% plus in FY25. Revenue split is approximately 63% fasteners and 37% EV components. In electric vehicle EV segment, we had we are doing, we're going to do a lot of customer and product diversification, where Jaideep and Anish will talk more about that. Focus still remains in our EV business on three-wheelers, light commercial vehicles, two-wheelers, heavy commercial segments. And we will try and introduce some products for the passenger vehicle segment itself. New products like onboard chargers, DC-DC converters, magnet-free motors will be introduced in early FY26. In the power transmission segment, 100% subsidiary of Sterling Tech Mobility Limited was crystallized to address this market segment. Hopefully that business should be in operation sometime third quarter FY26. The facility is being set up with an investment of 50 crores and in technical collaboration with China's Kunshan Goli, New Energy Company Limited. The revenue target is about 200 crores by 2030 for this one particular product segment. We are looking at balanced growth across fasteners, power electronics, power transmission, and magnetics. You know, and we also want to look at high customer stickiness due to long product validation time. I just want to mention one thing here. When I look at the journey of Sterling Tools from a fastener maker, and bulk of our future investment coming in non-fastener businesses, new age businesses where a lot of the components are for the EV industry, power transmission segment as well going forward. All of these components have traditionally been imported till now. A bulk of them are imported even today. So we are trying to identify product lines where there's import substitution, Make in India initiative, and more importantly, where we have the first mover advantage. So a lot of the revenues will kick in over time. The investment will start firing in already. But you'll see the results incrementally in the years going forward. So we are here for the long haul. We are looking at building a portfolio and revenue growth, which is sustainable and has a strong presence with our customers, creating high customer stickiness along with that. A lot of these products, you know, it could be the magnetics, or it could be even the DC-DC converters or latching relays, etc. They all require long testing and validation times with our customers. So the revenue increase may seem slow in the beginning, but once the testing validation is done, the volume growth ramps up quickly, and more importantly, it creates a lot of customer stickiness and also a version of at the customer's end to add a competition product. So somehow the first mover advantage is critical in these new product lines. We are strengthening our tech center team in Bangalore to address products across different product segments, including our self-developed MCU and other power electronic products. Long-term priorities are to have 50% revenue coming in from non-fastener businesses. In our fastener business, we are focusing to increase our revenue in two product areas, two segment areas of passenger vehicles, where we've got SOP starting with Hyundai this year. And also, we want to increase our intensity where we are covering our commercial vehicle segment business. We want to, like I said earlier, we want to be an early entrant, provide the first mover advantage, and hopefully create stickiness and more customer commitment for our product lines. Thank you very much, and I'm going to hand you over to Pankaj to talk about the numbers in more detail. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'll share the financial highlights for Quarter 4, FY25. Starting with the standalone financial highlights for the Quarter 4, total income stood at 165 crores in Quarter 4. EBITDA for the quarter was 24.9 crores, with EBITDA margin of 15.1% in quarter. Profit after tax was 11.3 crores in this quarter. For the full year standalone, total income grew by 6%, reaching to 652 crores against 614 crores last year. EBITDA increased by 5%, reaching to 94.8 crores as compared to 90.5 crores in FY24, and EBITDA margin stood at 14.5%. Profit after tax witnessed a growth of 10.5%, reaching to 42.9 crores in FY25 compared to 38.8 crores in FY24. Coming to the consolidated financials for quarter 4, total income slightly degrew by to 205 crores in the quarter 4 as compared to 270 crore last year, mainly because of the lower revenue from our subsidiary company SGM. And our adjusted EBITDA margin, which is excluding ESOPs, improved to 12.9% blended as compared to 12.5% last year. In consolidated performance for the full year, our income grew by 11%, reaching to 1,038 crores, which is what Mr. Atul said, we crossed 1,000 crore first time, as compared to 938 crore last year. Adjusted EBITDA, again excluding ESOP, increased by 13.8%, reaching to 132 crores in FY25 compared to 116 crores in FY24. And our adjusted EBITDA margins stood at 12.8% as compared to 12.4% last year. Profit after tax witnessed a growth of 5%. We achieved 58.3 crores in FY25 as compared to 55.4 crores in FY24. Thank you, everyone. We can now start with question and answer session, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes on the line of Himanshu Upadhyay with Bloomberg of PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. I had a question on Sterling, the standalone business, okay? Because, and the question is, till last quarter, we were growing at 8 to 9%, okay? And we were expecting similar growth for the year. But suddenly, we find this quarter, the business degrew by 1%. So can you elaborate what happened on the, in Q4 for standalone business, and why this degrew happened?
So, good question. Let me just say few factors. One, the auto industry, if you know, is slowing down, relatively slowing down. You know, passenger vehicle industry grew marginally last year in FY25. Commercial vehicles were negative. The only substantial growth in FY25 came in the two-wheeler business. So, typically, two-wheeler intensity of sales is first half of the year or first 9 months of the year, starting April onwards till maybe November, December. And last quarter is normally muted for two-wheelers. Last quarter is normally strong for commercial vehicles and for passenger vehicles. And the last quarter at the OEM level was not very good from a production perspective. I think that there's a lot of public data. I'm sure we can pull out something to tell you what happened last quarter. That's one. Secondly, we have taken... like I said, last quarter is also a quarter where we take a lot of one-time provisions, rationalize things. Secondly, thing was which impacted the revenue numbers was the fact that there has been a steel price reduction, where indications are that the steel mills have done some understanding with OEMs, and the OEMs have communicated to us as to what reductions they are looking at. Their numbers are, they have already, discussions have already started. So we have taken provisions for steel price reductions, and those provisions are in multi-crores, which we have adjusted against the top-line revenue number. So I think these are the two big factors impacting revenue growth in the last quarter.
Okay. On the, and one more thing. I'm looking at slide 14 and 12. And if we try to understand the expenses as VEM, it is reduced from 27 crore to 14 crore.
You got cut off in the middle if you want to start that question again.
Okay, so I am talking about expenses side for SGEM. And this is slide 14 and 12 I am trying to compare, okay? So the cost L is then cost of goods sold has reduced from 27 to 14 crore. What is the potential for further reduction in the cost? And what is the run rate of monthly run rate of production currently at SGEF now as Ola is no longer manufacturing or is not the customer? So what type of costs will be incurring?
So I think a big reason for the drop in cost that, I mean, if I'm, you're asking about the cost of goods sold, right?
Not the cost of goods sold, the other expenses. So I'm saying...
The other expenses.
90. Yeah. So for Q4, which is 88 minus 74, okay, 14 slide 12 and slide 14. So you have total expense of 89 crore. It has reduced to 74.5 crore on standalone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let
it
me
was
just
97 to 70 crore.
Yeah. So, I think the couple of things which will come in there that you asked a question about Ola. So, Ola has decided to make the motor control units and motors, the integrated unit, in-house for the Gen 3 platform. However, for the Gen 2 platform, we will continue to supply to them. Gen 2 production in the last few months has been quite low at Ola due to operational issues. At least the communication that they have given to us is that they will see a ramp up in Gen 2 volumes going forward, though it will be, you know, a small portion of their overall sales. In terms of the overall the overall run rate that we are looking at, depending on month to month, we are looking at anywhere between 15 and 20,000 units a month, depending on the month. Some months could be lower. But there is a difference in that as we make units for commercial vehicles, etc., the production volumes on those are much lower. And in terms of the expenses, you know, our other expenses, I think it's about 6 to 7. Yeah, we have an average of about 6 to 7 crores per month. One of the factors that drives other expenses is that it includes a royalty. And you know, when if sales go down, then obviously the royalty also goes down correspondingly.
Okay, but the monthly expense for the plant is around 6 crores.
Yeah, 7 crores or so. Yeah.
But if we look at the Q4,
look at our royalty expenses, those are based on revenue numbers. So as revenues go down, those go down dramatically. Or as revenues move, these move dramatically.
Okay, I get that point, but sorry to belabor this point more, because Q4, if we take a consol, the total expense was 89 crore. Okay.
They couldn't hear you.
This is slide 12. No, I am saying the slide 12 says the total expense on consol is 89 crores, and for the standalone, which is slide 14, okay, it says 74.5 crores. So the SGM cost is around 14-15 crores for the quarter. So plant cost would be around 4 crores or 5 crores, 4-5 crores.
So let me do this if I can. Get back to you on one-on-one on this. I'm not sure I've understood the exact question, but what we'll do is that I will send you a message and clarify your details, clarify your query. I'd like to just walk through each one of the constituents of other expenses and be able to answer that.
Karan, you can help us set up a call independently with Jerry on this. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please press star on 1 to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Apurva with Whitestone Financial Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the
the recent partnership which we have done with the advanced electric machines, right? So if you can throw some light, like what is the revenue potential we are targeting in the next few years, and like if you can share the royalty, how much you would be sharing with them?
So I don't think we will be sharing royalty information. That's something that I will say is company confidential. In terms of motor potential overall, we have to look at different estimates, but broadly speaking, we believe that even as of FY25, the total market for motors is about 2,000 crores. Okay? And this is, and the growth rate in the coming years is supposed to be, is likely to be exponential going forward. Now, I do not, typically, a major tier one would want to be able to target a 10 to 15% market share in a segment. But as this is not a mainstream technology, we believe that initially this will be, that the market share potential would be lower. We would see lower penetration. This obviously could change dramatically depending on what happens with rare earth magnets out of China. But as this is a very pioneering technology, we expect that this will slowly gain acceptance and get deployed in mainstream automobile industry over a period of time. So the market share expectations would be in the single digits.
Okay. Sir, so these motors are like cheaper or expensive than the magnetic motors?
Okay. So the most important difference of... let me answer that question directly and then I'll give you this thing. So the BOM cost should be the same or lower. In a large electric motor, magnets constitute up to 30% of the cost of the motor. That is at the prices that prevailed before these trade tensions took hold. Okay? Mm-hmm. As you probably have heard, there have been very few shipments of magnets in the last few months after China put on restrictions on the export of magnets. So there may be increases in the cost of permanent magnets, which would obviously increase that percentage. The motors, the technology that we have been evaluating and working on for several years, along with AEM, does not use any magnets whatsoever. But obviously, there are other parts of the construction which are a little expensive. So net-net, we expect the BOM cost to be very similar to that of a permanent magnet motor, but there is no dependence on, but we are able to remove the dependence on permanent magnets and the vagaries of supply chain that permanent magnets have because of the 90% stranglehold that China has on that supply chain.
Okay. So, and by when are we planning to start the manufacturing, like in next how many years?
So we will start customer trials and validations nearly immediately. We were waiting to sign off this agreement, and we expect to do negotiating with customers on trials very soon. I don't know exactly when we would be able to be in production, but I would expect sometime next year. Next fiscal.
Okay, and how much time does this take, customer validation?
Customer validation, as Atul mentioned even in his opening remarks, that anything to do with EVs, 3 to 6 months is a very, three is also low. I would say 6 months easily for just the validation, and there's, obviously stuff that happens before on technical alignment and stuff that happens subsequently even after the trials on sign-offs and so on and so forth. So, from the time that you start working with the customer and start, from the time you start putting products on trial to the time you go into production could easily be a year.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press *1 to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Rohan Mehta with Nexus Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Rohan.
Yes. So, sir, firstly, with Sterling G-Tech now targeting two-wheelers, three-wheelers and commercial vehicle customers beyond Ola, how does your current the customer pipeline look like, and how are you looking at contribution from the three-wheeler and CV segment in FY26?
So, we have, and we've talked about three-wheeler and LCV quite extensively even in the past. I think the difference that I would say in the current in the last few months has been the inroads we have made into the heavy commercial vehicle or the HCV segment. Could you repeat that the second part of your question again?
Sure. So I just wanted to know how the customer pipeline is looking like and how we are looking at the contribution from three-wheelers and CVs in FY26.
Okay. So in terms of the customer pipeline, we have more than 30 customers that we are working with at current. This is across all categories. And then I said 30 customers. These are customers with whom we have either got awarded the contracts or where we have an advanced stage of testing. And there are many other customers, maybe an equivalent number of customer programs where we have some kind of initial dialogues. In terms of what would be the split, I'm going to say, and I may be off by a little bit, but I'm going to say it's going to be about 40% from three-wheelers and commercial vehicles. Two-wheelers will, at the end of the day, if you look at the total production of EVs in India, two-wheelers will continue to dominate that overall penetration, and therefore, and we are strong in that segment, and we continue to want to sell in that segment to customers, both in the, especially in the high speed, but even sometimes in the low speed segments.
Right. That's helpful. So just a clarification here, you make the 40% you said is three-wheelers and CVs put together, right?
Yes. Non-two-wheelers.
Sure. That's
very different from last year where it was, 90, just over 90% on two-wheeler and 10% on the balance. So you will see a significant change in the portfolio.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. And secondly, could you just provide some color on upcoming power electronics products and the expected contribution from HVDC contractors, dealers, and so how much incremental revenue can we foresee from these initiatives in next 2 years, FY26 and 27?
So what I will do is I'm going to just talk about the power electronics and then request Anish to give you an update on the relays and HVDC and magnetics. So power electronics, we are looking at essentially chargers, which could be both onboard and offboard, and DC-DC converters. And this would be across an entire across all segments. Okay. And one of the things that I think maybe Anish has explained earlier, and I'll he'll elaborate on that earlier also, that in DC-DC as well as on chargers, magnetics is a significant part of the BOM. So for us, this is not a random. These are not random partnerships or ventures. This is a clear strategy that we have to enter into the power electronics space and to backward integrate into the components that go into power electronics. Anish, if you could expand on that, please.
Yeah. on high voltage DC contactors and relays. We have budgeted for 10 crores this fiscal, and over the next 2 years, we hope we get to 30-35 crores for next fiscal. So it's going to be a slow ramp up. It depends on how the EV industry grows, but it's going to be 10 crores for this fiscal, and next year it will be 30-35 crores. On magnetics, we're still under negotiations with our Korean partner. Once we conclude the negotiation and finalize our budgets for next fiscal, because that project will only kick off in January 2026 at the earliest, we'll have in more information to share then.
Sure. That's very helpful. That's it on my side, sir. Wish you all the best.
Yeah. So, sorry?
Thank you. So,
yeah.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Manan Vandur with Walford PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes. So first question is, which is the customer that we don't sell our MCU to?
Sorry, could you repeat that, please? Which customers we don't sell our MCU?
Yes, last quarter I had asked which are the customers we sell to. So you said that we sell to everyone except one. So I would like to know which is that one customer you don't sell the MCU to.
on the LCV space.
Okay, on the LCV.
That was on the question, the question was on the LCV space. And if you want to know the answer, that's Tata Motors.
Okay, so to Tata Motors we don't. And in generally, I would say like considering two-wheelers, three-wheelers, LCV, etc. Then how many customers we don't sell to?
That would be a huge list. Look, I mean, okay. We are seeing obviously a massive attrition in the EV space. But, you know, at a certain point, I think there were 200 companies that made two-wheelers alone. There were probably more than 50 companies, maybe more than that, that made three-wheelers. There are a couple of hundred companies that make e-rickshaws that all have the ambition of moving into three-wheelers. Maybe 10 companies that do LCVs, three or four companies that do HCVs, you know, the PV landscape. That's, I mean, easily you're talking about 300-400 companies. I mean, and I keep telling you that we've got engagements, contracts with about 30 customers. And by the way, this list, I mean, the list that I'm telling you is a list after much attrition. I mean, there was a mushrooming that happened. And obviously as the industry grows, you know, there will be consolidation and you will have fewer players survive. You know, we are probably in touch with 20% of the market, maybe 25% of the market, and we are doing active business with say 10% something. I mean, these are broad numbers, but directionally they will be correct.
Right, understood.
Look, I'd like to clarify that your question,
yes,
and my answer on the last call was specifically about LCVs.
All right. Okay, understood. Thank you so much. And so now coming to a bit of numbers kind of a question. So could you please tell us how many MCUs did you sell in quarter four as compared to last year quarter four?
We did, probably we were down by, I mean, year over year, we were probably down by about 60%.
Could you say it in unit terms, sir?
We did approximately about 100,000 and went down to about 40,000.
40,000 was this quarter, as compared to last year, it was around 1 lakh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my next question would be, could you, the full year numbers could you give also? Like last year full year numbers and this year full year numbers?
When you talk of last year, I'll have to get back to you for FY24, but for FY25, we were close to about 5 lakh units.
Okay, close to 5 lakhs.
But
okay,
you have to understand, so you have to understand that there are differences in the, I mean, in we are doing different productions. You know, when I'll give you one data point that when in the production that we do for some of our lower cost MCUs, we have a tack time of, say, you know, we can produce pretty much an MCU a minute. And the supply chain is set up, you know, all the supply of components that is there supports that level of activity. So the mechanical components, the electronic child parts, the PCB assembly, all of that is geared to that kind of a volume. When you look at, say, a light commercial vehicle MCU, I'll say we can make 25 a day. If you look at a heavy commercial vehicle MCU, we can make 10 a day. So the product mix, and even within two-wheelers, there is a big difference between price. I think we had explained that to you in earlier calls also, that the lowest MCUs will be about 3,000 to 4,000 rupees.
3,000 to 4,000, yeah.
If the most expensive will be about 12,000 rupees in the two-wheeler and three-wheeler segment.
Yeah.
So depending on the product mix, there's a lot of difference that takes place.
Right. Just two more questions, sir, then I'll be done. So the third question is that, so out of the numbers that you just told me, as on quarter four we did 40,000 in FY25 and last year we did 1 lakh, and in FY25 we did almost 5 lakhs units. So out of this, could you tell us how much we supplied to Ola?
So I think we've mentioned earlier also that Ola is, I mean, listen, I think we've explained this in the past also, that Ola is typically 60 to 70% of our total volumes.
Okay. So out of all of this, it would be almost 60 to 70%. Okay. And the last question would be that when you are saying that we are increasing our non-two-wheelers from almost 7% to 40% in FY26, does that mean that the non-two-wheeler MCUs must be having higher margin and higher selling price, right? Is that a general understanding correct?
Yes. I don't know. I mean, the margin, again, different customers, different programs, different specifications, margins may vary. But generally speaking, higher per unit cost is definitely true.
So when you're saying 40%, so it would be three wheelers and then LCV, HCVs, right? So if you could just give a ballpark number as to how much a three wheeler MCU would cost and how much an LCV or an HCV MCU would cost, could you please do that?
It varies. The LC three-wheeler will range typically upward of 10,000 rupees, and LCV at the bottom end would be anywhere between 40,000 and 60,000 rupees.
Okay, bottom end would be 40 to 60, and higher end would be?
No, sorry, I should have. The bottom end would be 40. The high end would be 60.
Oh, okay. The high end would be 60. And sir, the HCV side?
Again, really varies by specification, but we have some units that go into some buses that are 4 lakh rupees each.
4 lakh also, okay.
And these are multifunction units. I think we had spoken about this in the past,
right,
that these are not only traction
right.
inverters, these also include auxiliary drives and DC-DCs. 4
right.
lakhs, maybe a little bit more.
Right. So just summing up, no more questions more. Just summing it up. So when we say that almost from 7 to 40% we are going, and we can see that normal two-wheeler MCUs will cost around 4,000 to 12,000 ranging. But when we go to three-wheelers and upwards, we can see that the range is much higher. So it shows a general understanding that the next year, with having 40% in LCV and HCV and three-wheelers, we might have much higher revenues than we had in FY25.
No, that's
right?
Not. That's not true.
That's not true.
No.
But
that's not true.
But considering the unit-wise.
I mean, look. Let me. I mean, let's. There's a number of questions. We are talking in percentages and absolutes, and you can't keep mixing them up and losing. I do not expect our revenues in FY26 to be anywhere close to the numbers that we had in FY25. Okay, so I'm putting two and two together and coming up with 22 there would not be appropriate.
Okay, when you say that our numbers will not be as terms of FY25, what do you mean by that?
I mean they'll be lower.
Okay, understood.
If I may say, you know, we're going round and round. I cannot
right.
give you, we do not, we have not given and we do not give predictions for, you know, guidance for revenue numbers. That's something we've not done.
Right.
I will, however, say that we expect a down year in FY26. We expect our revenue numbers to be down. If our biggest
okay.
customer has taken, has in-housed or insourced a significant portion of their volume, then obviously we will see a drop. Our strategy to diversify the customers and the products is working, but it doesn't have immediate results, and there will be a down year in FY26, and in fact, even at FY27, we may not be back to FY25 numbers.
Okay, that was really helpful. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Gopalakrishnan with an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Krishnan, please go ahead with the question. We'll take the next. The next question comes from the line of Apurva from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So I had one last question that the Sterling Tools has done MOU with Yongin Electronics, right? And there we have mentioned that we have done the partnership which covers the entire portfolio of magnetic components. So can you please specify like what exactly we would be manufacturing in these magnetic components?
We're putting specifically four different lines for four different sub components within subset of magnetics. So the first one is high frequency transformers. The second one is EMI filters. The third one is common mode chokes. And the fourth one is inductors. So we'll be putting four different lines which cover all the whole segment of magnetics used in chargers, DC-DCs, and any kind of power electronics that goes inside EVs or charging stations.
So these components would be used in the charging station as well and in the
yes.
car as well?
Yes, yes. The voltages and the power ratings vary depending upon the platform. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, a charger can be onboard, offboard, or could be a DC fast charger. But in each
mm-hmm.
case, you have to basically play with currents and voltages, and that's what the magnetics enable us to do.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ramesh B, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Sir, in past call, you say we have participated in new model for IC there. So any concrete development till date? We have any assignment from IC player for new model?
So I, are we talking about any particular products line? Are we talking about power electronics, fasteners, or power?
I am particularly discussing for MCU.
MCU, okay.
MCU.
Motor controllers are specifically for electric and hybrid vehicles. They're not for IC engines.
I know, but I see they're also in business of EV two-wheeler. So I am asking about EV three-wheeler particularly.
Sorry, your voice is cracking a little bit. Did you ask the question about EV three-wheelers? I'm not sure I've understood your question, sir.
Sir, I am particularly asking for EV two-wheeler.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yeah, I understood that. So you're asking about EV two-wheeler. Yes, please go ahead.
In past, you say that we are participating in new model for IC player. I mean...
I understand what I... I've understood your question. So what you're talking about is the incumbent players, the players that are currently selling the ICE models. We are continuing to engage with them. It's not, and we are, providing samples and so on, but no, we are not in production with anyone.
Thank you. Mr. P. Ramesh, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Radha with BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. The presentation states the strategic way forward for the company, and you mentioned to the previous participant that all these partnerships are calculated steps taken by the company. So with regards to this, I wanted to understand the potential of the company for the existing business plus new initiatives from your vision, from a five-year perspective, considering all these strategic initiatives that you have taken.
So, like I said in my communication at the beginning, I think we expect a breakup of 50% revenue coming from our legacy business and 50% coming from new businesses by 2030. So, I can't give you forward guidance in hard numbers, but I want to emphasize again is the new products we have added in the past, in the last 3-4 years, for example, motor control units, we've added magnetics and DC-DC contactors, relays, and going forward, we've added magnet-free motors, and you'll see some more products being added in this power electronics and power electrical vertical, which is what we want to focus on of our growth. A lot of the revenue will start kicking in larger volumes FY 27, 28, 29, 30 onwards. So bulk of the growth will come in on a large basis in these new businesses. And I've said this in the last 1 year in all the investor calls. Our legacy fastener business is very mature. It's already of a certain scale. We will grow. We will grow faster than the industry. Our focus will be to keep our margins intact, look at more sophisticated products within our fastener business, increase our intensity with a commercial vehicle, within the commercial vehicle segment, and also maybe grow in the passenger vehicle itself, which we're doing. Maruti traditionally has been our strongest customer in the PV business. We've seen tremendous development work we've done in the Mahindra automotive division in the past years, now crystallizing into revenue. And Mahindra will be another growth customer for us in the passenger vehicle segment. And finally, our SOPs with Hyundai Kia start this financial year. So just to give you a broad idea, 50-50 split by 2030, but the bulk of the growth coming in from new businesses.
Okay, sir. So is it a fair understanding if I take, in terms of the new businesses, can this new business be as big as your existing business in the next 5 years? And what would be your vision or target with respect to the ROCE that you want to achieve in 5 years?
Good question, Radha. I've said in my opening statement 50-50. But yes, these new businesses at some stage will be larger than our legacy business. That's the whole idea of what we are trying to do. We are trying to build a future-proof organization, which is giving growth to us for the next 10 to 20 years and getting ready for the way the industry is changing. And more importantly, what our strengths have been and vis-a-vis our customers, vis-a-vis product lines, and also understanding that for us to grow in the traditional businesses where the tier one or the supply chain is already set up for the last 30 years, it'll be difficult for us to add businesses in the ICE product category where the existing players are very strong. And I don't think we add much value to our customers if we have started doing traditional businesses. That's why we're looking at businesses which are currently imported. We're looking at import substitution. We're looking at the Make India initiative as part of that, and also be giving us a first mover advantage. So hopefully in the next five years or so, we have a strong position in the automotive space in the new businesses.
And so your target ROC is in the next 5 years?
I think for the new businesses, I think we will be comfortable looking at anywhere 25% plus ROC on the new businesses.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Vipul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So congrats team on actually building some strategic alliances. My question was actually pertaining to, let us say, what is the industry trend with OEMs in terms of integration? For example, Ola, you see, in this case, they are building, now they are building the products in-house. What is the industry trend? And what is our competitive advantage against these larger players, or let's say players, our customers, integrating and building in-house?
You know, so it's a good question. I'm also, you know, it's a question where the dynamics are changing every quarter. This is in the businesses we are addressing, in the new product lines, they're all electric vehicles or hybrids. The market situations are changing very quickly. In India, they're hugely impacted by government subsidy programs or incentive programs. There was a lot of momentum a year ago or a little longer than that. But there was a lot of subsidy on two-wheelers, three-wheelers. The government withdrew that. That's why the e-two-wheeler segment has not grown very far. So there are multiple issues which impact that. And finally, from a technology and supply chain perspective, the supply chain for EVs and hybrids is not there in India. It's being built as we speak. Like, we are building a lot of stuff, and so is a lot of other companies building supply chains for that. To answer your question about what are the OEMs doing, Ola has in-housed or insourced the motor control unit. It is not a function. It's just, if you look at other players, Bajaj or TVS Motors or Hero, this product line is still outsourced to partners outside. Ola was an extreme situation, and I think Ola as a company also has a very different DNA compared to the incumbent two-wheeler, three-wheeler makers. I also believe that the volumes currently in the industry are very small. I think we are looking at a run rate of about 1.5-2 million units in the e-two-wheeler segment. The penetration in passenger e-vehicles is only 2%. Commercial vehicles is not even that. Even the bus segment, which is being electrified in public transport in urban centers, the penetration is also very, I think, what, 30-odd% in that? I'm not too sure.
No.
It's 4-5%. So I think the dynamics are changing regularly, but I also, like I said, I believe as and when the volumes build, and I one should not think 12 months, 24 months. I'm thinking 5 years, because when you look at our business, I'm looking at it, my lens is looking at next 5 to 10 years, where I want to be or where we want the business to be. There'll be a lot of opportunities. We may have lost the Ola business, but our belief is as and when the volumes pick up, all these OEMs will need not single sourcing of products, even if it's insourced. They will need at least two or three sources of vendors going forward to run their production lines when the volumes reach 8, 10 million units or 5 million units in, let's say, E2-wheeler space. Currently, the penetration is only 100,000 units in passenger vehicles, which is nothing. If that reaches a penetration of 20%, you know, you're looking at a million, 2 million units for passenger vehicles. The industry will grow dramatically. I think the dynamics, the technologies, the supply chains will stabilize, and all the OEMs will need dual sourcing minimum to support the line and the markets and customers. So, like I said, it's a it's a very dynamic situation, and we want to stay on top of it and at the same time address the changes which happen on a daily basis. I hope I've answered your question, Vipul.
Yes, yes. Thanks for the response. And yeah, looking forward to being invested in Sterling.
Yeah. And I'll just add to what Atul spoke about. There is integration at the component level. You know, we talk about motors and controllers, as Atul addressed, you know, what is happening there. There is integration of onboard chargers, DC-DC, PDUs. There's integration of traction drives and auxiliary drives and so on. So there is a lot of integration that is happening. Therefore, our strategy, and, you know, we spoke about it in the last couple of investor calls, is that we are building a power electronics competence. So we are not restricting ourselves to one element like a motor control units. We are looking at the entire spectrum of power electronics, to so that as customers move in different directions with different levels of integration, we are able to support them. Will we get, you know, and Atul addressed this question in terms of investments and the sizes in the market sizes in India. In China, you have in the passenger vehicle space, you have 9-in-1, 10-in-1 gearbox, which includes a gearbox, a motor control unit, a charger, a BMS. Everything comes into one box. Will we get there in India? We don't know. We think it's unlikely because the volumes are just not there. I mean, BYD makes more electric cars in China today than the entire production, total production of passenger vehicles in the country, right? So for BYD to consolidate everything into this one integrated unit, it's very viable, and the investments can be paid off. Can we do that in India? I don't know. Will there be no integration? I don't believe so. Okay? So the answer for India, the India-specific solution, is there's going to be some level of integration, but we don't know how much. And our strategy, very clearly, as Atul articulated, is to be that we will play across the entire segment of power electronics and powertrain, so that as customers in India choose different levels of integration, we are able to support them. So, our foray into motors has been something that we've been working on, and it's very important for us because we believe that there will be integration. We've talked about OBC, DC-DC, auxiliary drives. So these are all parts of the puzzle for us, and we are building that as a competence. We're not building that as a product competence, but as a technology competence.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Agarwal for closing comments.
So, thank you, everybody. I just want to add, I think we talked about that we have lost one of our key customers in SGM. Namely Ola, because they've insourced the product. I just want to talk about the journey again. I think last 4 years at SGM have been very exciting. I think we've had a substantial ramp up in volumes and revenue, and more importantly, we were able to build a footprint for ourselves as Sterling Tools in the EV space. I think we got recognized that we are one of the key players in the business. It has opened doors for us. That particular journey has opened doors for us at a lot of OEM customers in India, and also importantly, we've been able to identify what are the customer needs, their challenges, their pain points, and we've been able to, backed on that, we've been able to identify new product lines within China and Korea, especially keeping in mind that the Indian customer is very price sensitive. The volumes are not going to ramp up as fast. At the same time, Indian customer, Indian OEM wants all the choices and to do what we need to do. So we're building a product portfolio for the long term. Revenue ramp up may be slow in the beginning, but we are very confident it will grow very substantially in the years to come. So long and short, we may have a temporary pain at SM in the short term, but I think that spurred us to do a lot more creative and aggressive stuff and adding new product lines and customers at the same time. So we are very focused, we are very positive of our business going forward, and we believe we are on the right track. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Sterling Tools Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.